It's another wonderful day to be alive. We're back in our home again, so welcome to our home. I do think in a couple of weeks I'll be able to get out of the old moon boot and we'll be able to get back out in the bush, and I'm looking forward to that. A couple of weeks ago I shared with you what was going to be my personal goal for 2022. Let me share that with you again. Never be in a hurry, do everything quietly and in a calm spirit. Do not lose your inner peace for anything whatsoever, even if your whole world seems upset. And that was by St. Francis de Sales. Well, it's been a couple of weeks since then, and you may be wondering how I'm doing. Well, to be honest with you, I've blown it a couple of times. Now you know why I made it a goal and not a New Year's resolution. If it was a resolution, after you blow it, you just go on and focus something else. But as a goal, it will give me direction to push through the rest of the year. And my job is to just provide focus on that goal. But there's something else that gets in the way of a peaceful life, and that's our natural tendency to be negative. You know what I'm talking about. You do the same thing, right? Well, anyway, why wouldn't we? We live in a very, very negative world. If you turn on the news, there's negativity from all over the world. If you go to the internet, if you're not really careful, you're going to find yourself chasing down a very negative path. And if you go to social media, well, I don't have to tell you about that. You already know what's there. And even if you watch a TV show, well, most of them are about conflict and murder. And now, I'm like anybody else, I love a good murder mystery. But the truth is, it's a murder caused by conflict, and it's 100% negative. Well, why so much negativity? Well, the science says that if something is negative, then people are going to be interested in it. If it was all good, then nobody would give it a second thought. So why are we so negative? It's a good thought. Let's just face it. We really are negative people. But I believe, personally, it's because of the fall. When Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, the image of God in them was damaged, or some people say it was tarnished. And that remains a part of human nature. I guess you can say then, because of my negative nature, so I blew it because of my negative nature. So I guess I just couldn't help myself. Well, if you buy that, I've got some oceanfront property in Alice Springs. Now, let me ask you a question. Will God give us a free pass since human nature is naturally negative? Well, if you're a born again follower of Jesus Christ, then no. I don't believe God will give us a free pass for being all that negative. Well, let me show you why I think so. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, I've quoted this several times in the past, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new." So clearly, for the Christian, the true believer, the true born-again follower of Jesus, the old nature should be gone and replaced by the new nature of Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that? I think you would have to. But then we struggle. Why do we continue struggling? I personally believe because there is so much negativity around us, and we just can't seem to get away from it. Because of that, I want to start a revolution. That's right, a revolution. I want to start a positive revolution. It's so revolutionary to what you see in the majority of humanity. So let's have a positive revolution. And we're going to call the rest of this series just that, a positive revolution. Anybody interested in going with me? Well, I hope you are. So where do we start? Well, as Christians, we need to have a biblical view for everything that we do. So what does the Bible say about a positive approach to life? Well, as it turns out, God has a lot to say about a positive approach. And we're going to look at some of those verses. But first, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your instruction to us. And I know when you give us instruction through the power of the Holy Spirit, you give us the power to accomplish what you ask us to do. But we've got to keep in mind, you ask us to do it. We've just got to do it. So help us to get our heads around this and become victorious in our revolution of positivity. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we get into our verses on a positive mindset, I want to give a disclaimer. That's right, a disclaimer. We all know that we'll have struggles in the world. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. You know we've had them in the past. You may be having them now. You'll have them in the future. But Jesus said something that sheds some light on that. John chapter 16, verse number 33, Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Now listen to this. In the world you will have tribulation, or hard times, or struggles. We know they're coming. But listen to how he completes his phrase. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So let me summarize. Troubles will come and go, but we can have peace or a positive approach to life because Jesus has overcome everything that the world can possibly put before us. So now keep that thought in mind as we go ahead. Now let's get back to the Bible. From what I've discovered, there's over 100 comments in the Bible having to do with a positive attitude or reasons to have a positive attitude. For the sake of time, I've whittled it down some and we come up to about 50 comments that we could use. So it's absolutely clear that God wants his children to have a positive attitude with a positive approach to life. Well, now here's a big question. Do we? Now you know why I've got that focus for 2022. Now, one of the most obvious passages of scripture for a positive mental attitude and some methods on how to do it, you'll find in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And let me read that to you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So in just a few verses, God speaks through the Apostle Paul and shows us how to have a positive attitude. We really don't need anything else. But let's break down what he said. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When things are bad, rejoice. When you're living on the mountaintop, rejoice. When you're confused, rejoice. When you're worried, rejoice. You may find it may help. Now let's move to the next one. Let your gentleness and reasonableness be known to all men. Gentle and reasonable. Does that describe you? And I've got to ask the question, does it describe me? Well, sometimes, but not all the time. Then he goes on, be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about anything. Wow. Well, how about the coronavirus? Don't worry. How about Russia and China? Don't worry. How about the economy? I don't think we have a thing in the world to worry about. All the things that we hear on the morning news, we as Christians are not supposed to worry about that. Is that just so completely clear in this one passage of Scripture? So what do we do if we can't worry? Surely we'd have plenty of extra time. Paul says, in everything through prayer, let your requests be made known to God. Listen, we are to tell God about everything. Not only those things that bother us, but tell him about everything. If they're going to bother us, make sure you tell him. If we're grateful for something, tell him. Whatever the reason, we are to tell him about everything. And what will happen when we pray about all these things? Paul said, the peace of God that supersedes or goes past all human understanding will keep our minds and our hearts through Jesus Christ. So prayer and thanksgiving will bring the peace of God that keeps us in a positive, peaceful spirit. So let me just say this. When we keep things, running things over and over and over in our mind, we know what happens. We just spiral and we dig ourselves into a hole. You've done it, I've done it, we'll probably do it in the future, but we don't have to. But if we turn them over to God, listen, folks, if we turn them over to God, then he will supernaturally look after us. And I hear that Charlie has found something to bark out the side, but we'll go get him in just a moment. But if we'll turn everything over to God, then we can return to that peaceful place that I'm talking about in my goal for 2022. So here's a summary of what we just read. Prayer and thanksgiving are important keys to keeping a peaceful spirit. Write that down if you want to. Let me say it again. Prayer and thanksgiving are important keys to keeping a peaceful spirit. Now let's look at just a couple of more verses from the New Testament. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 6. So we can say confidently, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Look, this is a New Testament scripture, and it's written to a group of Christian Jews who were getting absolutely hammered, worse than anything you and I have ever or will ever see. And then they say, with God as our helper, we don't have to worry about what people will do. Well, the truth is, most of our worries is worrying about what someone has done. She said this about me, or he said this about me, or she did that, or he did that. Folks, we get all worked up sometimes because of our own imagination. Maybe somebody has wronged you, and legitimately they have wronged you or mistreated you. Well, God gets very specific about that. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32. Let all bitterness, let me stop. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I'm going to read that from a paraphrase. It's the New Living Translation. I'll read the same verses. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, here's the other side of the story. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. I like the way that version puts it. It says, get rid of all this bad stuff. It puts the responsibility on us to do it. He wouldn't have told us to do it if we couldn't. So that's no excuse. I can't do that. So he puts the responsibility on us to forgive people, to be kind. All of us, me included, can learn from that. So, bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, and all types of evil behavior. Folks, that should be excluded from our lives. But after we put that all away, what do we do then? Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God does this for you and me. We are to treat other people the way we want God to treat us. Folks, keep that in mind. So we now know from the New Testament that God really does want us to have a peaceful mind and a peaceful attitude. And he has made that completely possible for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, go with me over to the Old Testament, and there we'll find a different approach for having a peaceful and secure life. Throughout the Psalms, David was turning his focus completely on God so he could draw strength and security and confidence from his God. Let's go to Psalms chapter 91, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. We talked about that one a couple of weeks ago. And then he goes on, verse 2, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. David's complete focus was on God. He says, God is my refuge. He's my helper. He is my confidence, not me. He is all these wonderful things. Now let's look at one more from David. Psalms 27, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who will stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise around me or against me, yet I will be confident. Do you see David's clear focus? In the face of every worry and concern, David turned his eyes squarely upon God. So focusing God is another good way to have a positive mental attitude. And to help us understand that, I'm going to let a pastor that you know really well explain that. His name is Charles Stanley.
The more you focus on your difficulty, your hardship, or even your pain when you're suffering, the more you focus on it, what happens? The bigger it gets. Well, I've been going through this, and I've been going through that. And if your friends listen to you and say, oh, I'm so sorry, I feel so sorry for you, the more pity they give you, the bigger it gets, and the bigger it gets, the more you doubt God. And so the issue is focus. And I think, when I think of focus, I think of many instances in the Bible, but one of the primary ones is Daniel in the lion's den. And so the Bible says he slept with the lions all night. If he'd have been focused on lions, he wouldn't have been sleeping. He'd have been over in the corner somewhere, all crouching down, hoping that they wouldn't see him or something. And it brings me back to one of my most favorite illustrations, when God just did something for me in one of the most difficult times of my life. It probably was one of the, up to the very top. And this lady came to see me, and she said, I want you to have lunch with me, and then I want to take you up to my apartment and show you something. Well, she was about 70-something, and I was 30-something, so I felt pretty safe. And we ate lunch, and I went to see her, and I was going through a very difficult time at church. They were doing their best trying to get rid of me. And we walked in. She said, now, don't sit down. I want to show you something. Walked over and showed me this picture of Daniel in the lion's den. And she said, now, son, I want you to tell me what you see. So I said, well, and I can still remember looking at that picture. I see this lion over here looking up and this one looking down and see the bones. And so I thought of everything this little lady could possibly have thought about. And I said, she said, well, do you see anything else? I said, no. She said, if you'll notice. And the picture had all these lines, and Daniel had his hands behind him. He's looking at this ray of light. She said, what I want you to see is Daniel doesn't have his eyes on the lions, but on God. It was like God hugged me that day. Because from that moment on, all of my fears disappeared, and all of my uncertainties and a lot of other things probably disappeared, because she got my focus right. When you focus on the trouble and the heartache and the burden and the pain, it gets bigger and we feel less confident, less significant, and overwhelmed. Because remember this, Daniel was looking at omnipotence, who created the lions. He could shut the lion's mouth. He could kill every one of them in a second. He just let them hang around while Daniel went to sleep that night. And before he probably went to sleep, and when he woke up, he went over and looked up, and just reminding of God that he was where he was because he had obeyed God, and God delivered him. God always operates on the basis of principles, not on the basis of feelings and how we feel, and so on principles. For example, the simplest one is, we reap what we sow more than we sow later than we sow. God always operates. He does never change that. And so, for example, one of those principles is, obey God, leave all the consequences to Him. That means I'm going to do what He says, I'm going to let Him take care of the consequences. God always acts. For example, He says one of those principles is that God acts in behalf of those who wait for Him. And so, if I'm going to act on the basis of principle, then I know I'm going to be heading in the right direction, doing the right thing, because God operates on principles. And that's the reason you and I can learn how to relate to Him, because if I don't understand His ways, then I'm going to say, God, what are you up to? Well, He's just up to doing and being who He says He is. And so you could come up with most any problem, and I believe, give me a little time, and I could come up with a principle to say, if you'll obey this principle, watch what happens. Because God wants us to obey Him. And listen, leave the consequences to Him. Let me ask you a question. Is there any consequence of your obedience God can't handle? Right? None. He can handle every one of them. Well, if I obey Him and leave the consequences to Him, here's what happens. I'm going to be able to have peace and a sense of joy and confidence and assurance. It doesn't make any difference what's going on, because He's in control. And if I'm obeying Him, He's already taken care of it. Because, listen, the only thing that can happen in your life is what God allows. If you're a child of God, what he allows for a reason. I may not like it, and there have been lots of times I've told him I didn't like it. And you know what he said? Nothing. Nothing. He just let me hammer away with it and deal with it until I finally said, God, I know you're right. I don't like this. I know you're right because that's what your word says. And even though I don't like it, I want you to have your way no matter what. When you're living with guilt in your life, or you're living with sin in your life, you're going to have a very difficult time trusting God.
So, according to Pastor Stanley, focusing on God rather than our problems is a huge key to maintaining peace and comfort and a positive mindset in our lives. Something to think about. But next week, I'm going to show you another tool that we can use to maintain a positive mental attitude. And this is gratitude or thankfulness. That's right, gratitude or thankfulness, or you can say thanksgiving. And let me encourage you throughout the week, it would be good to do some research into gratitude and thankfulness. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the day. Thank you for your word that instructs us. Now give us the power. I know you'll give us the power to do it. Now give us the focus to apply what we have learned. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.